What is happening, people, and welcome back to Season 2, Week 3 of our American Football Podcast in the End Zone UK. I, as ever, am your host, Dom, and we are bringing you Week 3 of the NFL 2022 season. Across the mic from me, we are 3 weeks in, and I am not sick of him yet. The other half of the In the End Zone UK team, it's Big Dave. How's it going, Big Dave?
Oi, oi, Savaloi. Ready to rock and roll. Another podcast in. Season is well underway. Cheers. The Giants disappointing me. So things feel like they're back to normal.
I'm sure they do, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But things are way underway. And every win and loss now starts to make a little bit more of a difference as we get through the first September games. Next games will be in October. So, week three did start a little bit mediocre this week. Thursday night football was not the spectacle that we have seen in the last few weeks. And that reason is because the Browns, led by Jacoby Brissett, took on the Steelers, led by Mitch Trubisky. And that was exactly what it sounds like. Below average, was it not?
Yeah. Just two mediocre quarterbacks leading two mediocre teams, and it was very, very, very dull.
It was so dull. But the weekend made for a bit more of a clash, some classic games on Sunday night on the Red Zone. Scott Hansen, 7 hours of commercial-free football, and then finishing last night with the NFC East rivalry that is the Cowboys, yeehaw, versus Dave's New York football Giants, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Dave, you can't be happy, right?
No, not really.
The Giants lose.
I don't know what you want to tell you. They lost. They lost in fantasy to some absolute scrote bag.
What's his name? Was it me?
We don't look through his name.
We've not actually even spoke about the fact that you lost to me this week, have we? I've avoided it a little bit. I thought the Giants' loss might have tipped you over the edge, so I thought I'd just leave you alone.
I was not in a good mood this morning.
No, definitely not. There was no signs of double crowns today, Dave. There was no signs of them. Certainly not two of them for both of us. I did win fantasy, but my Seahawks did also god-awfully lose. Not that that's relevant, but I'm calling this podcast The Mighty Have Fallen. All but two unbeaten teams now lost in the NFC and the AFC, and that leaves two unbeaten teams in the NFL. The Bills and the Chiefs, both indeed Super Bowl contenders in their own right, were defeated this week, and the incomparable undefeated New York Giants also lost this week. So there's only two left.
Fraudulent. I've got an offensive line which is about as much use as wing mirrors on a submarine.
Like an ashtray on a motorbike.
Like a handbrake on a canoe.
Like a chocolate fire guard.
Like tits on a fish.
You win. But yeah, it wasn't the worst of games. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but you've got some good stuff in there that you weren't blown out. The Cowboys have got a good team, but anyway, back to the week at hand. And this is the episode, The Mighty Have Fallen. We're also going to, of course, bring you Slap or Sign. We're going to recap on some of the big games this week. And me and Dave are going to go into a final segment called Would You Rather? It's usually kind of a drinking game, Dave. And I mean, you can drink if you want. I've got a bottle of Bud in front of me. Budweiser, repping the, the US theme of American football. But, we're gonna play Would You Rather. Up for that?
I feel like I've got a really good choice. I'm game for it. I've prepared some.
Okay. All right. So you are up for it. Love that. Love that. But it first seems like we start the podcast on a gloomy note every week, but we kind of have to because we talk about news and then the news ultimately just ends up being injuries. But they're such a big thing in the NFL. They make such a difference. And at the end of the week, unless you recap in the games, the first thing you talk about is who's been affected and what potential will that have. So let's start with those. Biggest one for me, I think I'm calling this one out. People may not know, even know who he is. If you're a football fan, like big football fan, I'm sure you do, but, Rashawn Slater for the Chargers has torn a ligament in his bicep, which has put him out for the rest of the year. He is a prime left tackle who, looks after Herbert. And I think that's a massive loss for a Chargers team that are going to be competing hard in the AFC West.
Yeah, well, you saw it this weekend. A team in the Jags, which they should have beat, ultimately they lost to. Absolutely slapped, to be fair. And losing your left tackle, especially like what a player like Herbert, who's already carrying an injury, to lose your premier blindside blocker, is not good news.
It is not, especially
for Chargers fans out there. Yeah.
Yes. No, if you are a Chargers fan, and I know that we do have some listeners actually, hit me up on the Instagramage last week. But sorry to hear that he's going down. You're gonna have a tougher time in the AFC West now. But he is a top tier left tackle, young man, ready to earn big bucks, I think, when he comes out of his contract at rookie. But that makes things a lot harder for Justin Herbert, who's already a little bit beat up. Next on the list is Mac Jones, quarterback for the New England Patriots. So he was fine all of the game. Say fine. He had a bit of an up and down game, but he was doing all right until the Ravens ended up putting the nail in the coffin. But not only did they put a nail in the coffin, they also put a nail in his high ankle, and he's got a high ankle sprain. And Dave, you were explaining to me what a high ankle sprain was earlier. Just tell the rest of the world what a high ankle sprain is. Because all I thought was that it was like you've twisted your ankle, but just high up.
No, and I am by no means a medical expert. However, I believe it to be whatever the bone is, like your shin bone, I don't know what that's called. But that separates a little bit, and it wrecks all the stuff in the middle of it, and that's what causes the high ankle sprain. And I think his needs to be, they reckon he's in his surgery as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was an infantry advisor on a medical course, and they were talking about high ankle sprain and saying how bad it was, and some people never recover from them. Always suffer with, I mean, they'll be able to walk and stuff, but...
But just reoccurring, like, weakness.
Yeah, 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 like, they'll always feel it. A lot of soldiers end up dealing with it and then just having to crack on.
Ouch. Well, that is not good for Mac Jones, who I believe this week is going into Green Bay, which is always going to be tough anyway. But, I mean, he's got the money, I'm sure, and they've got the facilities to operate to get it back to as close to perfect as possible. But like you say, sometimes when something's broke, cannot be fixed. It's a shame it came on the last play of the game, which was kind of pointless, but never mind. Sterling Shepard, Dave, talk us through that one, because he's a wide receiver for the Giants. He feels and seems like this man is just made of pure glass.
Yeah, I mean, this could be the end of the line for him, to be honest. He's torn his ACL the end of last season against the Cowboys as well, ironically. He tore his Achilles tendon.
Ouch.
Rehab from that, came back, started, played a couple of games in the off season, and he's played some games. He's been all right, to be fair, for the start of this season. And then strangely, he was just running down the field, kind of like stubbed his toe on the AstroTurf, and fucking tore his ACL.
Fucking hell.
So that's obviously his season done now. But I think that's led to Odell Beckham's been on Twitter today, tweeting that all the artificial surfaces in the NFL need to be removed.
Right.
Because that's where the majority of these injuries occur. Because at least with grass, I'm assuming grass gives way.
Yeah, you can tear it up, can't you? If your feet move in grass, it kind of moves with you a little bit. So, grass doesn't move, does it? Or not as easily.
No. So I think, so he's out for the rest of the season, which is trouble for us.
It's not good, that. Especially if, like, actual, you know, we're talking about NFL players here who are getting paid millions upon millions of pounds and their livelihood relies upon them being sort of safe on the field, and they do all this work to make sure that they don't get concussions and extra padded helmets and, you know, things to put over your knob and stuff so that you don't get balls bust, and then all of a sudden you've got more people tearing their legs out because of artificial turf and they don't do anything about it. Seems very strange. Like, if there is an actual commonality, you'd be looking to get rid of all of them, surely. I mean, I can't imagine playing rugby. Like, obviously, I can only reference playing rugby in the past, but sometimes when you want to turn on a dime, not that I ever really could, but I was quite fast. If you get your stud stuck in the ground, the mud just sort of turns with you. Do you know what I mean? You can almost pirouette a circle into the mud and it just tears through your boots. But that AstroTurf and the rubber pellets that they put down on top of that as well just doesn't move. And so one thing gives way, either the turf or your internal ligament.
Yeah, it's not good news.
Interesting. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. If the players are calling for it, they should probably listen. And then finally, Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett could potentially be in a bit of a conundrum. Joey Bosa went out after one play for the Chargers, so the Chargers are potentially in a bit of deep doo-doo with Slater going out. And now Bosa has got apparently it's a significant groin injury, which could be fun, but this one definitely isn't. And Myles Garrett was in a car crash. Ironically, both of these are my two starting defensive linemen in fantasy.
Yeah, that's not good news, is it?
It's not good news, but both of those are massive, right? Even if they miss a couple of games, they are impact players for those teams.
Yeah, huge. They're the show. Well, I mean, Bosa, he's got Khalil Mack on the other side of him now, so they're still going to have some form of pass rush. But when you think of the Browns, you think of Garrett as being their stud, you know, their Aaron Donald of that team.
Mm.
So he's definitely going to have an impact on them.
So yeah, apparently he was in a car crash anyway, where the car flipped multiple times, but he was taken to hospital with no major injuries. So you never know. If he's not had a concussion and he doesn't have to pass protocols and stuff, he might be back. But at the moment, it's a massive question. And from what I saw from Joey Bosa, because he was in my fantasy team, I kept an eye on it. And he's going to miss some games. You can't play to his pace and that level with any kind of groin issue. It's a problem. Groinal. I think that was all of the major injuries. Have I missed any that you can remember, Dave, or is that it?
I can't think of any more.
Good stuff. Covered. Injuries done. With that, we move on. And I have to ask, Dave, have you been Mr. Miyagi-ing your good hand this week?
Not only have I been warming my hands up, I've been wax on, wax off in.
Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand.
Are you sure you've been wax on? Nothing else?
Just wax on.
Gross. Well, I do hope so. And with that, let's get ready for slap or sign. So, Dave, hit me straight away. Well, don't hit me. Hit this player. Hit us with your AFC slap.
Oh, AFC slap, perfect. This is a man who at the start of the season I said, oh, maybe he's not that bad. Maybe I've been hating on him for all the wrong reasons. And I probably have. It was just jealousy before. However, now I've got a vested interest in how Patrick Mahomes does.
Ooh.
On a week-in, week-out basis. And for the last 2 weeks, he's done fuck all. His team is suffering because he's not playing like the MVP like caliber player he is. He's
so you're slapping at the Patrick minute. Mahomes?
Yeah, absolutely. Oof. Absolutely.
Nice.
He's just not playing to the standard that we've all come to expect. That the so-called, he's already been crowned as the next greatest quarterback.
Mm.
But he's looking distinctly average. And his team now sits at 2-1. They got beat by the Colts. And the Colts just last week got shut out by the Jags.
Yeah, that's not good.
He threw for 260 yards. He had one touchdown and one interception. And the interception is what sealed the game at the end, actually. But, yeah, they lost 20-17. He's just not played very well the last couple of weeks. He got away with it last week. But
yeah,
this week he didn't. He got beat by a Colts team, which everybody thought that the at the start of the season, everyone thought the Colts team were going to be a good team, but they've yet to show it, having lost a game and drew a game. But the Chiefs, they go as Mahomes goes.
And at the minute, they do.
He's not going. They've lost Tyreek Hill, so he's just obviously thrown a lot to Travis Kelce, which he did before, I know that, but he seems to have lost that downfield threat. And the game doesn't seem anywhere near as open as what it has done in years past.
Yeah, that's
true. I think
he
needs to look inside himself and realise that he needs to find a way of moving the chains and winning these games.
Push that ball downfield a bit more and stretch it. They've got players that can do that. I'll talk about it a bit later, but I think there's a few reasons for it. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, and they lost to what was, I genuinely believe, was the worst team, worser, is that a word? But they were the worser team on the pitch. I don't think the Colts played better than the Chiefs. They just, they managed to get the job done. And they definitely didn't lose to a good team. The Colts are still not good. Even though they beat the Chiefs, I still don't believe that the Colts are any better after that win.
No, and there's no way that worser is a word.
Is it not?
Okay.
Worserer. Okay, cool. So AFC slap is in the bag. Now hit us with your AFC sign.
My AFC sign is a man who put the beat down on the Colts last week. And he followed that up by a beat down on the LA Chargers this week. Quarterback by the name of Trevor Lawrence. He may look like a scarecrow with model caliber hair.
Yeah, he does.
But the dude, he had a bad year last year. The difference being this year, he's got a coach who actually knows what he's doing and can coach. And he's absolutely on fire. Threw 262 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions on the way to blowing out the Chargers 38-10. He looks poised. He can move the chains with his legs. He's a big dude, 6'6". He can make all the throws in the box. And he's just, you can tell he's turned that corner from last year. And he's definitely having a good year so far.
Nice. I mean, yeah, he threw some good balls. I remember actually we were watching it together on the red zone and I remember calling out a few of his passes that just looked fucking nice, you know, like up and down, beautiful touch on it to the back of the end zone, making his receivers, you know, have an easy time catching balls. He's this year looks like the Trevor Lawrence that I think everyone expected to see last year, if you know what I mean. Like he's not necessarily, you know, Patrick Mahomes yet or anything, but he's showing that he's got a lot of promise. And like you say, he's a big dude, 6'6", can move the chains, can move the ball. He's got a big arm, can actually, he's quite mobile as well. They've just managed to put some slightly above average people around him, because last year they had poor people around him. I wouldn't say he's got superstars yet, but he's making use of them. And he's taking the Jags on a bit of a winning streak.
Love to see it.
Trevor Lawrence. Good stuff. Okay, over to the NFC, National Football Conference.
Do you want slap or sign?
Oh, yeah. Give me a sign. We'll finish with a slap.
Good. I'm glad you've done it this order. So my sign this week, as much as it pains me, I'm going to sign an Eagles player. I'm going to sign Devontae Smith.
Receiver.
I feel like the one position that we need on the Giants more than anything right now is a reliable receiver.
Yeah, Devontae, a deep threat.
Yeah, and just somebody who can run crisp routes. He was known as a very good receiver coming out of college. I think he won the Heisman Trophy, actually. He's just what we need. We were lined up to take him in the draft, and the Eagles, being the rat bags that they are, traded in front of us to get him. So... we lost out on him by a place, which was a bit annoying because we definitely would have been taking him. He had 8 receptions for 169 yards and 1 touchdown.
Yeah, that's good.
And he just opens the field up. I know they've got AJ Brown there now as well, who's absolutely no slouch. And Goddard as well as a tight end can catch passes. So they just open the game up, and because Jalen Hurts has the ability to run the ball probably better than he has to throw it, but you can't double team anyone because you're gonna play a spy on that little rat that's running around the backfield.
And he is a little rat.
And that just leaves these elite wide receivers one on one with corners, and they're winning more times than the corners are at the minute, which is frustrating because they're gonna absolutely piss all over us when they play us, which is frustrating.
It is frustrating because he's really good. Like, thinks end of the first half, I think he was sat there with like over 120 yards, and then he made a big catch for even more. And it was like, really? How is he putting these yards up with Jalen Hurts thrown at him? And I'm the biggest hater at the moment of Hurts, but I still don't think he's good, even though he's proving me wrong every week. I still don't think he's good. I think he's playing to the potential of his receivers and his offensive line, which I suppose that's what you do as a quarterback. But Devontae Smith is upping Jalen Hurts' potential exponentially, I think, and it's a good sign. He seems like a class act at wide receiver, and it is frustrating to watch.
Very.
Okay, so finish him with the NFC slap.
Okay, well, I took screenshots of all the players' stats. That was right. The slap and sign. However, I only needed to take 3 pictures because I knew what this douchebag had done, because I sit and watch him week in, week out. I'm slapping Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
He is the highest paid player. He's the 6th, I think, highest paid player in the league and the highest non-paid quarterback in the league. And he does fuck all to earn it. You lay in bed last night when the Giants were playing. You had as many catches and receiving yards as Kenny Golladay did.
That's wrong, because I caught one in my dreams.
Yeah, well, he gets paid £700,000 a game, and you get paid nothing to sit in bed and play with a little todger. But yeah, so he's getting slapped. He's so frustrating. He was garbage last year. And what's more annoying is the fact that he was on the field for 2 snaps last week. And he said after the game that he deserves to be on the field. They're paying him money to play. They're not paying him to sit on the sidelines. He deserves to be in every play. He was in the game this week. Didn't catch any balls that were thrown at him. And no. on the final drive, when we needed to score a touchdown, he dropped a pass that would have gone for a first down and kept the ball moving.
It was an easy catch as well, really. Yeah,
it's him square in the chest.
Yeah.
And he's then sulking on the sideline. You can see his little face just looks like a sad little 6'4" bitch just sat there being Mardy. And the whole point of our team, which I'm happy about, is the effort you're putting in practice that determines how much game time you get. So it doesn't matter if you're a superstar. I mean, he's definitely not a superstar.
Not anymore. Well, never really was, but yeah.
I just want rid of him. I want somebody to trade. I want him to trade him so bad. But the issue we've got is
he's owed so much money.
His contract is untradeable. We would have to swallow so even swallowing so much. But I don't want him on the team. I'd rather just get rid of him.
Yeah, I think it will happen. I think it has to happen. Yeah,
absolute scumbag.
I think like you could see it coming in the off season. Not to go into it too much detail, but we spoke about it in the off season. Like there were some memes and some little Giants videos going around of him practicing at like 10% or what looked to be 10% of his capacity, like sort of just labouring through drills. But actually, seeing him on the pitch, he might have been going fucking full hog, and just nobody can tell because he looks slow and he's just lumbering down the field. He's a big dude. I reckon just laziness and age has caught up with him. I reckon he had youth on his side when he got into the Lions. Big lanky streak of piss. Could catch any ball that Matt Stafford threw at him. And now he's turning, you know, probably late 20s, early 30s, like we did, Dave. We packed on a bit of timber, but the difference is we're animals and we kept it at bay, whereas he's letting it run his life and run his football.
The dude's gone. I want him gone. He's he's clearly been paid and now he's just turned into a lazy fuck.
Yeah.
And I have to see it week in, week out, and it pisses me off, so I want him gone.
That's the fairest of slaps given today. See you later, Kenny. Kenny G. And that's all yours, Dave.
It is.
Slaps are in.
Give me your AFC slap.
I tell you what, here we go. Our AFC is very similar. Not quite the same, but very similar. So my AFC slap is Eric Bieniemy.
Okay.
So offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, the guy that calls the plays for Patrick Mahomes, who you slapped. I'm slapping him because he's got Patrick Mahomes, and as you know, I'm a fan, a big fan. And he isn't playing to his potential at the moment. That certainly partially will be down to himself. It will be down to the decisions he's making and the throws that he's throwing. But he's still pulling magic out when he needs to, not necessarily as much as he did before. But Eric Bieniemy needs to play more aggressively. Needs to give Mahomes chance to do some of those Mahomes types things. And I think he's just become a little bit of a bit of a wuss as Eric Bieniemy. I think back in the day, and maybe it's because Andy Reid is really the true play caller in Kansas, but ultimately Eric Bieniemy's job as an offensive coordinator is to manage the offense. And you could even see it in this game where there was about 45 seconds left before the half, and he decided to have Mahomes just hand the ball off and run the ball and run the clock down, and I think they had at least one timeout. They were beating the Colts, and he was saying, we're fine. You could see him mouthing it on the sideline to Mahomes, who was very upset that he'd not tried to do more and that they'd just taken the half time. And rightly so, because ultimately the Chiefs ultimately did win that game if they hadn't had their kicker injured. Their kicker was injured, so they missed 9 points, didn't convert 9 points on the board. So they would have beat the Colts. And not only that, but they didn't take the chances where they needed to. And 43 seconds on the clock, or 49 seconds on the clock with a timeout, that's a touchdown for Mahomes. Or, you know, it's a potential one. Anyway, I'm not saying it would have been, but I'm just saying that that is plenty of time for a Mahomes-like player, especially him, to get the job done. And you could see he was frustrated, and you could see that, no, 4 points is not enough, Eric. Let me out there and let's try and be aggressive and score points. The Chiefs are fucking renowned for being aggressive. Teams historically have had to go on fourth down, even if it doesn't make sense for them to, because they needed to keep up with the Chiefs. And they've lost that pizzazz. And I think Eric Bieniemy is just maybe scared to lose at the moment.
Yeah, they look like just another team.
They do.
Look like any random team. They don't look like the Bills. They don't look like the Dolphins. And the Bills haven't got, I mean, they've got Stephon Diggs, haven't they? But he's not Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a fast downfield threat. I understand that, but it wasn't too long ago when Juju Smith-Schuster was an elite receiver.
Yeah.
A couple of seasons ago. I mean, he just seems to, you're right, they seem very beige.
Yeah.
And whether they're trying, and I understand that if it's the playoffs, Mahomes is running for first downs, you know what I mean? Like, he's putting his body on the line. He probably doesn't see the need to do that in the middle of at the start of the regular season, but they look very bland.
They do. And that's not the reason why, you know, Chiefs are one of my favourite teams outside of the Seahawks, and the reason for it is because their play calling was aggressive. Their playbook was random and new and exciting, but it's becoming less of that. So that's why I'm slapping Eric Bieniemy. Anyway, took more time on that because my AFC sign was actually the same as yours, Dave.
Oh, was
it? I signed Trevor Lawrence, yeah, which is why I kind of chipped in when you were talking about him. So I don't need to say any more, but my sign is also Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Looking very good.
The long-haired Lezza, love it.
Yeah.
Right. NFC sign.
NFC sign is a man that I have watched. It's not a woman.
Yeah, I was shocked if it was a woman.
It could have been signing a referee. That's as close as it gets to women in football and maybe a couple of coaches, but roll on more women in football. I'm pro women in football, just I'm on the pitch.
Women. Pro women everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
There should be more women on earth than men.
Definitely. A couple of absolute feminists over here. Come on, bring them on.
Yep, I love boobs, going to say.
Absolutely.
If you listen, you've got boobs, male or female, I love them.
Anyway, back to my sign. It is a man, and I've been watching him for years upon years, and he's always had some star potential, but it seems to have been unlocked in his team at the moment, and they unlocked it last year. This man is Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm signing him because I watched him rather intensely this week. That sounds creepy, but it's not. Is that he was playing against the Seattle Seahawks, and he was a bit of a force, to be honest. He put us through our paces, and he had 141 yards on the ground on 17 carries and a touchdown, a big tutty. I mean, 140 yards on the ground for anybody is decent, but Cordarrelle can do a little bit of everything. He's very much a Swiss Army knife is what they like to call it in football, but he's a skill position player that can do it all. He's a big dude, humongous for a running back, 6'2", got shitloads of muscle, a bit like me. And don't look like that, Dave. And he can receive out the backfield. He signed out of the draft as a receiver. That's for the Vikings in 2012, I want to say, or maybe 2013. In fact, it was the year before that. I think it might have been 2011. And he was a receiver and a kick return specialist, which he can still do. So he's got all of the attributes to be able to catch passes out the backfield, run relatively crisp routes, even though that wasn't his major strength. But he can also now carry the football and put his head down and bosh people out of the way. And that's exactly what he did against my boys, the Seahawks. The Falcons did win, which I'll talk very briefly about later. But Cordarrelle's a player. He is a player. And you asked me when we were watching the game, actually, who would you rather have? Debo Samuel, who's a superstar, or Cordarrelle Patterson? And it was a tough one to answer. So I think that one is credit to Cordarrelle.
No, he's an absolute stud. I had him last year in fantasy. The man, he puts points up in fantasy because, like I say, he's a jack of all trades. I'd have him maybe over. I think I'd have him over Debo. I think he's more effective at the backfield than what Debo is.
Yeah, I think I said that as well.
But I mean, he's the start really of this transitioning people from big-bodied wide receivers that have got pace, athleticism into these hybrid backs.
Yeah.
Like the Debo Samuels of the world, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, he was doing it a few years ago. Jet sweeps for the Niners. For the Vikings, and he's found his home in Atlanta. So yeah. Well done, Cordarrelle. Thanks for putting points on my Seahawks.
And then to finish off your slap.
Yeah. So to finish, this may be an obvious one. I thought you were going there, and then you made a swift swerve. But I am slapping Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo for the Niners. So that's two Niners quarterbacks I've slapped in the last 3 weeks. I slapped Trey Lance week one, and now I'm slapping his replacement, Jimmy G. He did come into our game and carve us up a little bit, but that's by the by. This week he played against the Broncos, and the Niners scored 10 points, seven in the first quarter, zero in the second, zero in the third, three in the fourth. And not only did he only score that many points, he gave up 2 points on a safety, just dropping back into the end zone and having zero awareness about where he was on the pitch. He wasn't being heavily pressured. He just didn't need to do it. And then ultimately, the Broncos won by a point. They won 11-10. Broncos stink, by the way, as well. But Jimmy G, 18 passes completed of 29 attempted, 211 yards. He did throw a touchdown, but it was on the first drive of the game, I think. And that was it. Awful. He played terrible. He was just inaccurate, uninspiring. And do you know what? At the end of the game, he was smiling like a Cheshire cat, literally ear to ear. I think it's all he does. It's because he's good looking as fuck. And he probably just doesn't care. He loves like porn stars and fucking strip clubs and whatever. So good on him. Why not? But he was just smiling like a Cheshire cat at the end of the game. And I'm like, mate, you've lost that game. You've lost that game. You chose to step back out for a safety, or you didn't choose to, but it's your fault. You've put 10 points on the board. You're pathetic. Nobody actually really wants you, because if they did, they'd have traded for him when they had the opportunity whilst the Niners went to play Trey Lance. And he's one of those, I think last year, I've said it so many times, like his strength is that he can just release the ball very quickly for about 5 centimetres and then let the receiver take it the rest of the way. And if that doesn't happen, he has a game like this. It's shit.
Yeah, he's it makes me think if he, because I saw the picture of him smiling after the game, it makes me wonder if he's even bothered about the Niners. Like, he's obviously, he's there, isn't he, because they're giving him money or whatever. But this is the perfect season for him now to just go out and play ball and then see where he goes after this. But
yeah,
he maybe just doesn't care about him.
No. I mean after that performance,
I don't think it's that, because as a competitor, like an elite competitor that he is, you'd think that he'd be bothered. He wouldn't want to lose.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just didn't understand it. Like, if you looked at his face, take a picture of him post game, it was like the Niners had won like 38-0, and the difference between him and say Josh Allen, who fucking unclipped his helmet, slammed it into the floor, which wasn't quite as much as the offensive coordinator of the Bills did, but it's just not right. Like, to see him, literally, it was moments after the game, and he stood there like pearly whites beaming. I'm like, fucking, have some respect to the players that are, you know, around you, have like done a lot more and given a lot more than you have, you fucking melt.
Yeah, agreed. He's a gimp.
Jimmy G, slapped. Slap or sign. Over. So we move on, Dave. We move on from slap or sign, and let's talk about some games. Let's talk about some of the games from Sunday night, some of the best games that we saw. I think we'd go amiss to not talk about our own teams really quickly. Shall I start with the Seahawks, or do you want to start with the Giants?
You can start.
I'll start. Okay. Right. Where do I start with the Seahawks? Positives, negatives? Okay, let's start with the positives. So, the Seahawks on Sunday at 9 o'clock or thereabouts played the Atlanta Falcons. This was a very winnable game for the Seahawks in terms of the Falcons not being fantastic and the Seahawks also not being fantastic. It finished Falcons 27, Seahawks 23. Overall, it was quite an entertaining game, actually. Far more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. Geno Smith, backup. No. Well, should be, but our backup or starting quarterback threw for 325 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had a pretty clean game. He threw an interception at the very end of the game whilst he was trying to chase a win. An interception that actually came quite happily to me, because I was okay to lose that game. Considering how we'd played, we did all right. We gave up a few too many points. We shut them out in the fourth quarter. But we gave up a few too many points in general. But the Seahawks positives were there. You know, he got DK Metcalf involved. He threw him some jump balls. One that he went up and grabbed in the end zone and came down with it for a touchdown. He was firing at Tyler Lockett. Offensive line gave him quite a bit of time. That's what I've been looking at a lot from the Seahawks, and just seeing how our offensive line stands up. And there's a few silly penalties on there, but they're still young. But they were giving Geno some time, you know, and he threw 325 yards off 44 attempts, 32 completions. Not bad stat line, not bad at all. Defensively, we're a bit soft. We still remain a bit soft. I think it's because we've got a lot of newness not even in the secondary. We've got a lot of newness everywhere. Nobody is really established as a player in the Seahawks at the moment. Quandre Diggs is probably our most established player at free safety. We've got a brand new strong safety in the absence of Jamal Adams. All of our defensive line is pretty brand new. Chenna Nwosu is looking really good. He had a fumble recovery and a sack. Boye Mafei got a few pressures, and Jordan Brooks looks like an absolute stud. He looks like a slightly more slender Bobby Wagner, but he's everywhere at the minute. And that's something that's really nice to see, a proper side-to-side tackling linebacker. That's the kind of linebacker I love. I love a 4-3 scheme, not a 3-4. So, the Seahawks, there were some positives there, but ultimately we gave up so many points that we couldn't win. We fall to 1-2. It was all right. It was all right. And it just sets us on the road for a bit of a higher pick.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, I think, isn't it?
It is indeed. New York Football Giants.
Yeah, so we played Monday Night Football against the Cowboys, divisional game, and it started off exactly how all the other games have started off, where it's just slow, painful to watch. We seem to play a lot better after halftime. Our offensive line is absolutely atrocious. I've noticed that again. I mean, ultimately, the Dallas Cowboys are a good football team. They've got good pass rush from DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. Their offensive line is unbelievable. We had Thibodeau playing and Ojulari back from injury, both on a snap count, but neither of them got near the quarterback. We didn't sack Cooper Rush once. Where on the other side, Daniel Jones got sacked 6 times, and he's given up the most pressures in the league since like 2017 or something like that.
Interesting stat line that I read off this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I read it earlier and I thought it was worth saying, is that this Monday Night Football game, the Cowboys defense generated its most quarterback pressures since 2017. Daniel Jones was pressured a total of 24 times, which is most by any quarterback this season and second most over the last 2 seasons. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, and the game was relatively competitive until probably halfway through the fourth quarter. So the positives to take out is that we were hanging in there, but we don't score enough points. He doesn't get enough. Daniel Jones probably ultimately isn't a franchise guy that's going to take us for the next 10 years to Super Bowl glory like Eli did twice. And I don't think it's his fault as much as I think it's what he's been, the shitty hand he's been dealt, where he's had no offensive line help for the last 4 years. He's had mediocre wide receiver help for the last 4 years. He's only just starting to click now with Brian Daboll, and I think by the end of the season, we'll have a better understanding of what Daniel Jones actually is. The Cowboys are a better team. They beat us with Cooper Rush because Cooper Rush had a clean pocket all night. And the most average of backups, if they've got a clean pocket, will beat a team where the quarterback's getting harassed sexually, mentally, physically and emotionally for the entire game. For 60 minutes, the guy was running for his life. He was sacked multiple times. He kept hold of the ball. He had 80 yards rushing on the ground. I think he had about 200 yards passing. I don't actually know what his passing numbers were, but I know he had 80 yards-ish rushing on the ground.
Mm.
Saquon was good. He's just got no help at the wide receiver position at all. None.
No. It's a shame, but it's the world that the Giants currently and have for a little while lived in. So something need be done.
Yeah, so we fall to 2-1.
The mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, the NFC East probably has got the better record of most of the...
The NFC, yeah.
Yeah, NFC. Got three really teams. Well, team that's 3-0, two teams that are 2-1. Madness. And then the Wind Sox, which are about as much use as, I don't know, a fucking...
Poo on a shoe.
Fucking soggy Kit Kat.
Soggy windsock.
Yeah.
Alright, cool. Well, we move on and let's talk about some of the games. So Steelers-Browns, that finished 29-17. Texans versus the Bears finished 23-20, snooze fest. The Titans played the Ravens. So this was the winless Titans playing the winless Raiders. This finished 24-22. The Raiders lost. They are now the only team in the NFL to be 0-3. That's not good, is it?
Nope.
That's not good off a team that coming into the season we all probably thought could be a bit of a tasty competitor, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think they've improved at wide receiver massively by getting probably the best wide receiver in the league. But if you don't get the ball to him, or you've not got the timing that Aaron Rodgers had with him, so what good is he? He's just going to get frustrated. He's probably getting pissed off now. Derek Carr, they can't seem to keep a lead. And I'm telling you, it is Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator. The man is shit. They're fine at getting... I saw it for 2 years, do you know what I mean? They're fine at getting a lead. But then when you get a lead, he hasn't got the defense to hold a lead. He just gives up yards after yards after yards. And you can't do that with a team like... against a team like the Titans, who will just run the ball down your throat for 60 minutes, take all the time of the world off the clock, and your defense is just knackered because they've got to stop Derrick Henry. Only certain elite defenses can do that. Right.
Yeah, no, you're right, absolutely. And this is a problem for the Raiders, just in the division that they're in, and having made the moves they've made, people were, calling for potential MVP of Derek Carr, and that Devontae was going to have touchdown after touchdown. It's just not going that way at the moment, which is it's a sad state of affairs for a Raiders team that have mortgaged a lot against their current team. They've got Chandler Jones as well in the offseason. They've gone hard, and it's not paying dividends yet. Derek Henry didn't even have a big day to stop. 20 carries for 80 yards. It's not fantastic. Yeah, that's all. But he had a touchdown, but... I don't know really how this ended up where it did, but probably because the Raiders stink. We've spoken about the Chiefs-Colts. Colts won a last-minute sneaky win against the Chiefs, who missed 9 points for field goals, and the Colts won 20-17. The Vikings beat the Lions in a relatively exciting one. We don't need to talk about it at all, though, because there was nothing of worth in that game. I think Dalvin Cook is also actually partially injured, might not come back in, but Jared Goff looked like he was going to get a win, and they were winning actually by 10 points in the third quarter, and the Vikings pulled it back by scoring 14 to win 28-24. Ravens beat the Patriots. Lamar Jackson looks like he's doing Lamar Jackson things. Bengals beat the Jets, as we would expect, 27-12. One to talk about is this Bills versus the Dolphins. And the Dolphins did win this in Miami, 21-19, in what was quite a thrilling game. People say it was boring. It was only 21-19, but overall it felt like it had a fair bit of drama. There was scoring in every quarter by both teams. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we said, didn't we, like after the game when they brought the stats up, there's no way that you would think, if I told you that Josh Allen had thrown for 400 yards, that they'd had the ball for 42 minutes or whatever it was. You'd think that the Bills had won by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. This is the stat line. Josh Allen threw for 42 passes for 400 yards and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Tua threw 13 passes for 186 and 1 touchdown.
Yeah. If someone told you that, they'd be like, which team won that game?
Yeah.
You reckon they'd have won by at least 3 scores?
Yeah.
They just couldn't convert, could they? They went for it on fourth down a couple of times, thinking we're stopped.
That's it. It's the defense that sneaky defense of Miami. It's been there for years now, literally years. It's been there for freaking years. They went on like a streak of like longest game in the NFL with a turnover for, I think it was like 12 or 13 games or something stupid. And they always find a way to disrupt on defense. It's phenomenal actually to see, because Bill's offense is probably the scariest, hardest to stop offense in the NFL at the moment, I think anyway. But the Miami Dolphins managed to do that. I mean, the Heat played a part, which they were making a big deal of on the programming. I don't know how much of a deal it can play a part. Like, it was 35 degrees or something like that, which is hot, but these players are used to playing.
It's warm.
Yeah.
And that's warm, yeah. 35 degrees over there.
Yeah. I mean, they were saying like they were hanging out and it was one of the most physically draining performances that they've ever seen or something, but they were just, I think it was just the fact that the Bills were sort of outplayed and they had time of possession. They had double time of possession, the Dolphins, yeah. But when you are the Dolphins and you've got players like Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill who can score in a second, you don't need to be on the pitch long.
No, that's it. They are the deepest of deep threats.
They really are. So, interesting point on that in that game was when Tua got dragged to the floor and his head bounced off the floor, and he popped back up like a jack in the box, walked about three paces, and then his legs totally gave way. He was out on his feet with some form of balance/concussion issue. But he was cleared to come back into the game, which looks to have saved the Dolphins' bacon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Only a few more games to talk about, and that is the Eagles. So we've already covered this. The Eagles smashed the Washington Commanders heavily, 24-8. Commanders only actually scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. Garbage points, one would say. Weirdly, actually, the Eagles scored 24 points in the second quarter, and that was it. That was it. No points in the first, none in the third or the fourth, none in the first, second or third for the Commanders.
Weird, though.
Yeah, it's very strange scoring. Again, this is why, you know, I'm not all in on Jalen Hurts. Like, he scored 3 touchdowns and 340 yards, which is huge. But I don't know. There's something weird about him. He ain't all that. He's not. It's going to come true soon. But either way, the Eagles got the job done. They're 3-0. The Saints played the Panthers. That was a stinker. The Jags, the Saints played the Panthers. Panthers won 22-14 against the Saints. Jaguars beat the Chargers, as we've already covered, and they put a 38 burger on the Chargers. That's the most points the Jags have scored in 2 seasons. The Rams beat the Cardinals. The Cardinals looked awful. Anything to say about that game, to be honest, Dave? I don't think there's much to talk about, but Kyler Murray just does not look like Kyler Murray at the moment.
He doesn't look like he gives an abs. He does not look like he gives a fuck.
No.
I reckon, 95% of that game, he just looks like he's not bothered. And then he'll have a 5% of it. He'll look good. He'll look like he's wigging them passes. And then 95, he just looks absolutely like he don't care.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Very strange. I thought the Rams have, so far this year, underperformed as well. 20 points against the Cardinals defense is not great. And the Cardinals just, I mean, the only thing they had in that game was Marquise Hollywood-Brown. It's a good job they went and got him from the Ravens. Yeah. Because without him, he had 14 receptions. So this is a team who've had Larry Fitzgerald, who is an undisputed Hall of Fame receiver. They've also got DeAndre Hopkins, who will probably find his way into the Hall of Fame somewhere. And Marquise Brown has broken that team's franchise receiving receptions in a game, which is a joke. And it's all that Kyler Murray seems to do. He finds a receiver that he likes and he throws at him no matter what, whether it be for -2 yards or 2 yards or 50 yards. It's quite frustrating to watch Kyler Murray. I really don't like him, so we'll move on. Only three more games. Packers, Bucks. We'll talk about it only because of the caliber of quarterback that was involved in this game. One of the few times that Aaron Rodgers, three-time MVP, double MVP of the last 2 years, takes on the GOAT, Tom Brady, seven-time Super Bowl winning Tom. Brady had won three out of the four matchups against Rodgers. Rodgers claws one back, so they are now 3-2, and the Packers won 14-12 in a messy one, a very messy one at the Bucks house. It was not really one to watch, and I thought it was going to be great.
Yeah, I know. It had the potential, didn't it? But neither, well, not obviously neither, because the Packers, I reckon the Packers could move the ball better than what the Bucks have been, but the Bucks haven't been scoring points.
No.
They've both got really good defences.
Yeah, that's true. Very good defences. And in this game, both teams were without a number of receivers. The Buccaneers had no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. They're the two biggest threats on that team, and he had neither of them. And you could really tell. The Packers have obviously lost Devontae Adams this year. Sammy Watkins, who was somebody who caught a few passes last week, was out injured. So Rodgers was throwing to his granddad and his mates, Randall Cobb. And he just managed to get enough, just managed to get enough done. It was quite the snooze fest considering the caliber that was on that pitch. It was a defensive game, and ultimately the Packers won by 2 points. The Niners lost 10-11 to the Broncos. We've spoken about this because I slapped Jimmy G, but worth mentioning that the Broncos need to do something soon. Otherwise, they are going to start getting called out rather heavily. There was some boos from the crowd in the Broncos country this week. They have not seen anywhere near the caliber that Russell Wilson has been able to show in Seattle over these last few years. Their defense looks okay because they're holding teams to minimal points, but they just cannot get something going on offense. And I saw a video of Russ running off after the game saying, "What a battle, man. What a battle. This was a game. What a battle in the trenches. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride." And he was just, he just doesn't come across as truthful. It all feels a little bit staged, and whatever he says feels preordained. And, you know, this was a real battle, man. Battle in the trenches. It wasn't. It was shit. And you were shit. So you need to sort it out.
He's looking very, very, very poor. I don't know what it is about him. Maybe he's got no connection yet with the receivers. And when he gets the connection with the receivers, that's when he's going to sort of like pull it out his arse a little bit. But at the minute, just look, their team, I thought their team would be really good. Because I thought they had a good team.
Mm.
Well, they have got a good team. He's making Courtland Sutton look good. But Courtland Sutton is good, I suppose. But that seems to be the only receiver he's got any kind of connection with.
Yeah. It's a weird one. He seems to be falling into the same sort of traps that he was doing with Seattle in terms of getting sacked a lot, sort of wheeling out the backfield, blaming his offensive line a little bit. But the difference is that, like you say, he hasn't got the connections that he's got with his receivers yet, like he had with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and in the past, people like Jermaine Kearse and certainly Doug Baldwin, who's a superstar. But he's got okay receivers at the Broncos. Like Courtland Sutton is okay. Jerry Jeudy has not proved to be anything more than okay. KJ Hamler is okay. That Albert Obengibajugagubigi, Albert O, is also below average. And I reckon he's in a bit of a shit state, you know. I think he's in a tough spot. And I said it before the season started. He is not going to thrive in that offense because they are worse. Their offense, apart from maybe the offensive line, and maybe even now, is worse than the Seahawks offense. So the only upgrade is defense.
Would you take him back?
Would I take him back?
Yeah. If he was like, look, made a mistake, want to come back.
Would I take him back? Yeah, I'd take it back. Yeah.
Coward.
No, I would.
There's no way I would take him back. Fuck him.
Yeah, I'd take him back. Like,
fuck him.
He won me a Super Bowl. He was my quarterback for a long time. It means I don't have to throw away any of my jerseys. Yeah, I'd take him back. I would.
He is scum.
scum. And that's it. That's it. Reviews are over. Done. Dunskies. Romeo done. We move. And we move into segment of the week. Dave, would you rather? Let's play this game.
That's good.
Would you rather? So we're going to hit each other with three scenarios each. And we have to decide of those three, which we would rather partake in. You first or me?
I'll go first. I've kept all of mine Seahawks related. So they're to do with your team.
Oh, I've not done that. You're very considerate.
Well, I'm trying to mature as I get older.
Okay. Would you rather hit me?
Would you rather have Dak Prescott as your quarterback or Jimmy Garoppolo? Now, I know you despise them both.
I do.
Which is why I have given you this option. So with them, they come with their contracts. So Dak Prescott's humongous contract.
Yeah.
Or Jimmy G's not so humongous contract.
Okay. So Dak Prescott, we very, very often describe him when we are about to go and use the toilet for a number Dak, which is hard to then transfer into the quarterback that will be on my team that I'd have to cheer for.
You have to, and you'd also have to get one of their jerseys.
I have to get a Dak jersey. Could I just get the poo emoji on the back and it would just stand for Dak?
You could do.
I'm not taking Jimmy Garoppolo straight up. So, I'm just putting this purely on football. I think Dak Prescott gives you the bigger opportunity to, not necessarily to win, but I think his upside's higher than Jimmy G's.
That contract as well.
We've got a lot of cap space at the moment.
You wouldn't have if you had him.
No, but I'd take Dak. I would take Dak. It would pain me, but I feel like he could get the ball to players like DK and Tyler, and Jimmy G would just be stood throwing to Kenneth, which he's not ready for. So yeah, Dak Prescott. Thanks for the shitter.
Okay.
Right, I want to give you one. I'm going to give you one. this was on topic and maybe a little bit uncouth. Would you rather be in a car crash at 50 miles per hour with a seatbelt on, or be sacked by Myles Garrett, who was recently in a car crash, running full speed at you wearing no pads?
Car crash. Say that again.
You're in a car crash at 50 miles per hour,
yeah,
but you are wearing a seatbelt. Or Myles Garrett runs at you full speed and sacks you, and you're both wearing no pads.
Oh, give me the car crash any day of the week. He's a fucking unit.
It's humongous.
It'd be like somebody swinging a fridge from or somebody firing a fridge out of a trebuchet, and I've just got to stand there and take it. But like that scene on Lord of the Rings where they fire that massive boulder
and it lands on the orc.
Yeah. That's what it'd be like. Fuck that. No, give me the car crash. I'd go car crash without airbags as well. An old car.
Rock hard, Dave. Okay, cool. So car crash at 50 rather than Myles Garrett. Love that. I've been in car crashes. I've been hit by cars as well. I'd take the car crash over Garrett. He's an absolute animal. His arm is about the size of my fucking head. Bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
Next up.
I can see where you're going with yours. Mine are not that entertaining.
Oh, that's all right. I'll apply the spice of life.
So, would you rather keep Pete the Meat as your head coach for the next 5 years?
Right, Pete Carroll, yeah.
For the next 5 years, or keep Geno as your starting quarterback for the next 3 years? So you can either have Pete Carroll and a new quarterback, or Geno for the next 3 years with a differently minded quote, like a better coach.
Right, okay.
Plus the geriatric cunt.
I am going to say, see, you know me really well, Dave, so you know that these actually sound simple, but they're full of people that I really do not like. No, I do like Pete. I like younger, more well put together, less geriatric Pete, but I'd have to say I'd keep Pete Carroll and have to change the quarterback. Geno Smith is not somebody I can get behind for 5 years, at least.
No, you've only got to keep him for three. So him for three or Pete for five.
Yeah, I still couldn't get behind Geno for 3 years either. No, I couldn't. Like, 1 year is, please, Lord Almighty, if you exist, please, Geno has to be a one and done in Seattle this year. So Pete the Meat can stick around. What happens if he dies in those 5 years? Does he stay alive?
Yeah, he doesn't die.
He doesn't die. No. Okay. All right. Cheers, Pete. Stick around. Now this one's more normal for you than the last one's a bit of a weird one. So would you rather trade Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones to the Ravens for Lamar Jackson or pick up a free agent Kirk Cousins at the end of this year?
But still have Saquon.
Yeah, yeah, listen to the question. Would you rather trade...
Yeah, okay.
Would you rather trade Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones for Lamar Jackson? So you're at the end of that season, both of them go, you'd have Lamar Jackson, or Kirk Cousins becomes a free agent, you pick him up, you still got Daniel Jones and Saquon.
That's really difficult.
Yeah.
Because Saquon's my boy, and I've stuck by him both. For
you got to get rid of one.
The last 4 years. No, because I can fucking get Kirk and bench him.
If that's your option, you're mad.
Or do I get rid of Saquon and get Lamar Jackson?
MVP caliber, Lamar Jackson. Throwing dimes all season this year so far. Throwing literal Danny dimes. And all you've got to do is get rid of Saquon, who... Lamar Jackson runs the same amount of yards per game as Saquon does anyway. Or you take Kirky Cousins. You like that?
I would trade them and I would get Lamar Jackson.
Because
ultimately, as much as I love Saquon, I fucking want to win games. Yeah. So badly want the Giants. I want the Giants to be relevant so bad. And it was to piss all over the Eagles and Cowboys so badly that I would sacrifice my favourite player.
Nice. I know how difficult that was for you, Dave, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, good. Okay, finally. Would you rather have, as they are currently set up today, Micah Parsons or Aaron Donald? Both will play for a minimum of 3 years.
Both will play for 3 years.
Yeah, so Donald won't retire. Parsons obviously will stay in the league.
Yeah. Okay. I reckon this might surprise you. I would take Aaron Donald.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. I'd take Aaron Donald. Even though Micah Parsons has got more longevity and he's potential unproven, unknown development talent, in our scheme, what we need is pressure up the middle. We don't need pressure from the outside. Well, we do. Everyone does. But I would take Aaron Donald because he is the best defensive player, I think, to ever have played the game. And if I get him for three more years, even if he declines a little bit due to age and whatever, if I get him for the next 3 years, that's a game wrecker in the middle of your defense that can just cause problems. I think Micah Parsons is one of those where he's explosive. He doesn't seem hit and miss at the moment. He seems to just be hit. But, oh, it's a tough one. I'm going to take Aaron Donald just because he's just prolific. I think it'd be amazing to have a player like that in your team for even just 3 years. It's a good question though. Like, Parsons brings such a big upside.
And you were wrong. There's no way Donald is the best defensive player ever.
Don't you reckon?
Lawrence Taylor's the best football player ever.
Do you reckon?
I'm telling you. That's the same debate.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best, but I would say Aaron Donald could go down as potentially the best.
Not a chance.
No.
Let me just read this out. This was 1 year. This was 1 year for Lawrence Taylor, yeah? In the season, the 1986-1987 season, good year, 1987, legends were born. He was a Super Bowl champ.
Yeah.
He was the NFL MVP. He was the defensive player of the year. He was an all-pro. He led the league in sacks, and he was the Pro Bowler and the Super Bowl MVP. He won every award he could win. That's never been done.
Yeah. Yeah, fair play. I mean, he was amazing. I've watched his football life. It's very
way
good.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah. He is good. I'd take Aaron Donald, though. Not over Lawrence Taylor, if that's the question.
Well, if you'd take him now, yeah, he probably would.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, then,
nice.
Last one.
So my last one for you is, would you rather be, for a year, Jerry Jones's butler, or Patrick Mahomes's brother, Jackson Mahomes's security detail? So you have to wait hand and foot on Jerry Jones, or you have to protect that little dweebus, Jackson Mahomes, all year. And he's dancing about doing his little fucking shitty TikToks. Or Jerry Jones.
Have I got
like,
any influence on what he does? Because if I saw him dancing on someone's thing, I'd probably rip his head off.
You can't hurt him. You can't physically hurt him. You're his security
detail. But I
can
be like, look, this probably isn't a good idea.
You can advise him. Yeah, you can advise him.
I'd rather be Jackson Mahomes, even though he is the epitome of what I hate.
Yeah.
Of the human
race.
That's
what I thought. Yeah.
I already hate 50% of the human race. There's too many people on Earth. He is one of the too many people.
Yeah.
He is an and I've got absolutely nothing against gay people. Not in the slightest. He just annoys the fuck out of me. But I would rather... He probably is quite fun.
Right.
And I reckon that if you've got to go to parties and stuff with him, there's going to be loads of chicks to look at.
Yeah.
I get to probably put my hands on some people, throw a few people around. So there's a lot of upside to working with Jackson Mahomes.
Okay. Not Jerry Jones.
Apart from your tolerated turd. There's no way that fucking wrinkly old fox is going to be telling me what to do.
Howdy now, David. Go make me a cheese sandwich.
And more important than anything, the fucker owns the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I despise the Cowboys.
Okay.
So, Jerry Jones can go fuck himself. I would rather work with fucking Jackson Mahomes. It's a little bit like working with you, to be fair. So
not too bad. I've got the same dance style as Jackson Mahomes.
Body shape. sock full of custard.
You got the same body shape as Jerry Jones. same wrinkly scrote.
Like Jerry Jones, I can imagine, has got a body like, do you know, like a load of like dried up chewing gum that's under a desk, under like a school desk.
Yeah, like a pork scratching.
Oh, even worse. Literally like a tire fire.
Okay, well, there we go. There's our would you rathers. Love that. And that's it. That brings us to the end of this week's podcast. We are done. As I've said many times before, we're in association with Hickory Smokehouse Nottingham. Get there, drink a load of beer, eat some burgers and wings and chicken, watch football Sunday nights. Great place to be, hickories.co.uk. But for now, thank you for listening. Share the podcast with everybody, friends, football friends, families, and subscribe to all of our channels at In The End Zone UK. This has been podcast number 3 of season 2, The Mighty Have Fallen. Thanks very much.
Au revoir.
Peace.